Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 15, Episode 9, titled The Crystal Ball Episode 200. Is that really what this is called? My name is Joe Batance, and I am joined, as always, by three shimmering co-hosts. First on the podcast, bring it to the runway. Please say,
Sasha Velour has never looked so good.
To Mr. Roberto Mata. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, Joe. I didn't realize this was happening today.
Did you really not know this was happening today?
You don't know Robbie Turner, the Uber Queen?
Yes. Sorry.
Hello, Robbie. Stanford Frada.
Shut the fuck up.
Sweetie.
Top of the show, y'all are the ones who always read my resume, not me.
Well, look, there's a way of doing it, almost like a humble brag.
I don't do it at all.
No, but you'll be like, girl, not her being super erogatory. And I'm like, what? Why is this? I was an SAT tutor and I don't use these words. Like, who's bringing up super erogatory?
Well, speaking of you being an SAT tutor, it gagged me that you tried to raise those reading comprehension scores when you misread some of Christian's text this morning.
Misread some of Christian's text this morning. Explain.
Christian said, I'm leaving the gym. And you said, not Christian saying, I'm ready to go. And now he's going to the gym.
I thought he said he was leaving. Look, it's not
check
a reading
the receipts.
No, I believe you. It's not a reading comprehension thing. It's me always wanting to see the worst in Christian. that makes sense.
You so, and the audience collectively.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, also from Bring It to the Runway, please say,
some of your looks have lacked personality.
To Miss Christian Leotard Ochoa. Hello, Christian. How are you?
Hello, Joseph. My favorite Thea of mine. It's so good to see you. And my prima over here, Berta. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Christian, Christian, like I said to you, we were talking about this off the air, is ever since Robert pointed out that you say Leotard, that's all I hear now. I never noticed it before. And then ever since I've heard the episode a couple of times now. Can you say it now? Can you say the way a conventional American accent
Leotard.
Would say it?
Oh my God.
What do you mean? That's how I say it. A leotard. What do you want me to say? A leotard?
Okay, that's leotard, yeah.
Leotard. Okay, well, first of all, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one with a dance background here.
Second of all, our fashion expert being a dancer. Thank you, Marsha.
All right.
Call me Sasha because I'm lucky to have enrolled into dance in high school, and it saved my life when I was trying to closet my femininity.
Yeah, not you dancing around a Mexican sombrero with your hands behind your back. Is that what you did?
She did lip sync battles for Spanish music.
With the principal, with the high school principal, and it was judged. It was a like whole competition in California for Hispanic Youth Leadership Council, and they gave scholarships to schools, and they would get all these gringo principals to lip sync to a 5-minute mega mix in Spanish, and we would have backup dancers, like the student members of the club would be backup dancers, and I was in charge of choreography, costume design, dealing with our cunt fucking principal who was horrible, and I bullied her profusely through it. I think I made her cry one time. That's also why she didn't like me, but I don't care. Her looks that she was trying to wear were fucking disgusting, and I was trying to put her up in the J-Lo guiche. We even got her a wig. I said, honey, your dyke haircut's not gonna cut it here.
What?
What's glamorous and Latina about a dyke haircut?
What does this have
to a J-Lo and Pitbull mega mix? No.
Every 50-plus-year-old Latina woman has the same haircut, and it's the short ear-length bob.
I want the record to show. This all started, and this is actually what Christian is a master at this, is if you put Christian in a corner, he is a master at like wiggling out of it. Because the real thing was about him not being able to pronounce the word leotard. And he is able to reframe the conversation in a masterful way where you're like, how did this just happen? It's like a lot of like confusion and stunt shows and verbal gaggetry.
Girl, I'm always confused too. I never know how we end up here either.
You're the one that does here.
I know, but I'm not even doing it intentionally, though.
You're the one that Dirty Dunn did this, girl.
Pure instinct.
Yeah. Anyway, Taylor's going to be here next week. He's going to be the co-host next week. But before he did, he left a very special message for us.
Hey there, RuPaul's Drag Race fans. This is Taylor the Latte Boy, your favorite host of the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast. If you're a diehard fan like me, then you'll definitely want to join our Patreon community. As a member, you'll get early access to our episodes, so you can be the first to hear all the latest Drag Race news and gossip. Our Patreon episodes are also longer, so you'll get even more in-depth analysis and discussion. But Wait, there's more. Oh. As a Patreon subscriber, you'll also gain access to our Discord community, where you can chat with other fans about Drag Race and many other topics, share your thoughts and opinions, and gain access to the Porn Decor Lounge. Plus, you'll have the opportunity to join us for live shows and bonus content that you won't find anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for our Patreon membership today at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and take your RuPaul's Drag Race obsession to the next level. See you in the Discord.
Now, by the way, he sent that yesterday, but I'm going to tell you, it's not even totally accurate. I've spoken to the mistress of Discord, the dame of Discord, Humble Pie, and we are setting up, it'll be effective by the time you get this episode, a public section of the Discord. So that, no, there won't be any Porn Decor Lounge. But if you are like, fuck this Patreon shit, but I still want to talk about Drag Race and not be on Reddit, go to our Discord. Afterthought Media is the name of our Discord channel. I should probably put the name of the server channel and everything. I'll put it in the notes. Look in the show notes. And you can now, as soon as you get this, subscribe to our Discord in a public section. And Kiki with Christian and Ramble On with Robert. All about RuPaul's Drag Race. But let's get right into it this week. The Queen's photobomb, iconic Drag Race moments, and served three looks on the main stage in the Crystal Ball. Sasha Colby is named the winner of the challenge, while Selena S. Titties and Spice are placed in the bottom two. After lip sync battle for their lives, Selena was told, Shantae, you stay, while Spice was asked to sashay away. Ladies, name two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not. Let's start with my cousin from another buzzin. That makes no sense. Christian Ochoa.
So I loved how cute RuPaul looked. I genuinely love when RuPaul does something else. It seems like he's really enjoying himself. And even though I didn't love her performance, it's what we expected. That was kind of a waste of time. But she looked amazing. And I miss her music. I'm a RuPaul music fan, and I miss her music being good. So lately, it all just kind of sounds the same, right?
Yeah, it's like cake and candy, candy and cake. And it could be whatever. Next year, it'll be like pussy and penis, pussy and penis. And you'll be like, okay, it's the same.
Don't get the bisexuals turned up.
It's the same fucking dance. You want me to do that dance right now?
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, I think I can do that dance right now. It's the beauty of having a, and by the way, I'm sorry for those of you listening on a podcast, go to youtube.com. Robert and Christian will describe the dance to you, but I'm going to do RuPaul doing a lip sync. Every lip sync RuPaul does. I'm going to do it right now. All right, here we go. I'm going to play some music. Here we go.
Oh, the Nintendo Direct music.
She struts, you know, she looks at her cameras, she points at the dancers to the left, points to at the dancers to the right, she shakes a little hip,
a little bit of a sway,
she gives a little bit of open mouth, for sure, teeth, come on teeth, she might flip the hair a little bit, she might give us a little bit of, yep, not too much though.
Just back and forth, stepping back and forth, that's it.
Yeah, there you go, that's... Go to youtube.com/dragracerecap to see what that looks like. But I'm like, she can never, never criticize another doll again.
Were you talking about yourself or RuPaul?
Yes, both.
Ooh.
I would do a dance off. I would do a dance off with RuPaul. 100%.
That'd be sick. I'd watch that.
Yeah. I'd love, yeah. So the other thing I liked, honestly, yeah. The teaser for next week of Mistress calling Lucy out, Mm-hmm. Bitch, I'm so ready. I love a good, just assertive situation. I love calling a bitch out. I love the honesty. It's giving me Real Housewives. It makes me wish that us three could be on a season together just so we can have those moments with each other and others, because it would be the party. Like,
isn't it just called Bring It to the Runway?
Yes, but I want it televised with more stakes.
I see.
But I was living for it, and I'm bringing that up mainly because a friend listened to last week's episode of Bring It to the Runway, and they were like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, it sounds like there's just so much tension between you and Robert. And I was like, no, I love that bitch. I'm
like, when has there ever been tension?
Right? I'm like, if, I mean, except for that one time that I was like, I can't explain art to you. You are ready, bitch. You were
ready.
But yeah, anyways, we live to disagree just to agree in the end. And then the thing I didn't like about this episode, I feel like when Sasha Colby was having her vulnerable moment on the runway, when they were asking her about the House of Colby, I didn't really appreciate how rushed it felt. And it felt like she was having a genuine, authentic moment. And the judges were like, okay, well, that's great that you have that. Okay. And then they just kind of like moved on.
Do you think that was an editing thing, though, instead of rather an actual real life moment thing?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Robert, what about you? Give us your thoughts here.
Well, that's a perfect... The one thing that I loved was the severe, like, tonal whiplash between Anitra crying about her family kicking her out to Mistress saying, what's your favorite Drag Race moment? To Mistress talking about Angina revealing herself as HIV positive. To Spice immediately talking about Rebecca Glasscock coming in jeans. Like, I just was going... My head was going left and right, every which direction, and I love the editors for that.
Well, here's the other thing, too. And I know we get way into the heads of producer moments and stuff like that, but I wonder how much of those moments were fed. I'll tell you why. You're telling me Mistress, her favorite moment was Angina confessing she was HIV positive? Of all the shady... This is the one shady-ass queen, and that's her favorite moment? And then Spice, who I'm not even sure has watched more than 3 seasons of this show... The moment she brings up is a random ass moment from season 1?
That's true.
I mean, walking in jeans is iconic.
Yeah, but
I would do it.
Yeah. Now look, if another queen brought that up, if Lux brought that up, I would have 100% bought. Spice, who does the most basic shit of all time, takes the road most traveled every single time, and then now she's going to go with a Rebecca Glasscock in jeans reference? No.
That's a good point.
Sorry, Robert Thotta. Go ahead. This is the Robert Thotta moment.
I also love that Lucy telegraphed her own demise by wearing that Trixie and Pearl knockoff look that said runner-up.
Yeah.
Would you give anyone that kind of footage, even if you think you're being clever by playing a character? It was just so funny. It was just so much Schadenfreude, whatever. I lived. And then what I didn't like was that if we're going to celebrate the 200th birthday with bringing out a cake, like, don't roll out the nastiest, cheapest Macy's gift wrap presents in the corner type of cake. Like, why even bother landmark it with such a pitiful pastry? It was terrible.
That is so real. And RuPaul's favorite cake is the triple berry cake from where?
I don't know, Porto's?
You used to live right around the corner from it.
Cake?
Sweet Lady Jane.
Oh, Sweet Lady Jane, is that true?
I didn't know this. Where did you learn this?
I heard him say it on his podcast.
What's the tea?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sweet Lady Jane is really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's what I liked. I love a crazy lip sync. And this was a crazy lip sync. I will say, I mean, both these girls went to their safe spaces. It is a horrible song to have these girls lip sync.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you like
it?
Well,
no, it has to do with, like, yes, Lil Nas is a gay icon and all that jazz, right? But I would say often, especially in this song, there's a masculine energy behind Lil Nas. And then how do you do that to a song? And so I don't think they knew what to do with the song.
Great point. And not to get back into our producer hat, but could it have been for that reason so they can pick okay, well, you know, this is a tough song, really. They're probably going to be a little more on the even side, and we can, in the edit, justify whoever goes home.
I legitimately
because honestly, there are other Lil Nas X songs that I can see them fucking it up to. Like Montero, out of all of them, like, why wouldn't you do that one?
Robert, answer this question.
I would just think that there would be, quite honestly, I know that Lil Nas X is a gay icon, but for the 200th episode, they should have had a much more momentous song.
Yes.
A tent pole that really pulls the girls together.
Yeah, like bring back I Will Survive. Or something like that.
Let us see it.
Honestly, I keep forgetting that it was the 200th episode, even though they kept nailing that on the head because it was not memorable, really. So you guys are bringing up great points.
The other thing, too, is I think this was a great episode for MIB. Mistress Isabel Brooks was in her wheelhouse, really good, really funny, and I feel she's going to bring it next week with whatever fight she has with Lucy. The thing I didn't like, every week this Fakakta Lucy LaDuca is getting more and more on my fucking nerves. And we need to get her out. Like, the fact that she's still there and Spice is not. I watched Untucked and somebody asked me this. I don't think she really, someone was saying, like, you know, the fact that she wasn't in the top this week, was she mad? I don't think she ever really brought it up. I don't know if you guys watched Untucked. I did
watch Untucked because I was hoping I was going to get some of that beef, Lita. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was kind of boring.
Yeah, it really kind of was, like it always is. All right, let's move on. The next day, Spice re-announces her top era and Mistress vows to be more congenial. Next, RuPaul enters the workroom to announce this week's mini challenge. The queens will get into quick drag and photobomb iconic moments in Drag Race history. Anitra strikes the fiercest pose and wins the mini challenge. Robert Mata.
Josita.
I stan Robert Mata. And by stan, I mean... He's always mentioned Ferd. He goes to Stanford. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love how we didn't even plan this. Like, yeah. I'm just so about tormenting.
I didn't even see it coming.
We didn't plan for this. Planford. Anyway.
My thoughts on the mini challenge, perhaps?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that they started great by choosing Laganja's entrance as a truly iconic moment that the girls can rally around. And then they just went for the most random shit that's ever been caught on camera. Who the fuck remembers Serena Chacha being underwater? Although I do remember RuPaul saying that he could see her seafood platter. But that's not like the most evocative of Drag Race moments. Who remembers Morgan McMichaels popping a pinball out her pussy a la Queen of a Desert the second time? Because she did it the first time on All Stars, but that's not the camera footage they used. It was just bad choices of most iconic moments to photobomb. Like, why didn't you get someone photobombing while Willem was puking off the stage? Yeah. Or Akasha was doing her little fall and spin. Like, this group is for my girls. Good shit.
Yeah, or like Mimi carrying India.
Yeah.
Or like Sasha with the rose. I mean, there are so many ones you could have done. You know? Yeah, it's a very good point. Christian, do you have any thoughts on this whole section here?
I completely agree with Robert. Also, I think some of the angles were hard. I'm like, how the fuck are you supposed to really win this, right? Like, this challenge. Because, for example, the Serena Chacha thing, you were so limited to where you could go, right? And it was very clear that they were telling them kind of how to pose. So then I didn't love that, because when Lux was doing the kicking gesture for when Ornacia and Vivacious were landing in the pit, I was like, what else is she supposed to do? Is she supposed to jump with her? Like, that would have been more fun. I don't know. So they did choose difficult moments, too. They weren't even that iconic, but then they also made it difficult for the girls to execute the challenge.
All right.
But it was a fun challenge.
It was, but it's one, I will say, it's one of those challenges that I think suffered in the 60-minute edit.
It's 100%.
Not that I could have seen more, but maybe more of the what we're trying to do here kind of thing. But again, but like Robert was saying, the moments they chose for this, the moments they chose for the Elimination Day discussion, it was a really weird choice of moment.
Right, and if they had the longer edit, I would have loved to revisit the moments that they did choose for the mini challenge because they were funny. But if they gave us more context, or if we listened to what the queens thought when they first saw that, or where were you when you were watching season six or something, you know?
I wish they were really edgy.
Like?
No, putting the angina HIV moment there. And then you have to pose with your photo.
Oh my God. Posing with, no, I'm not even going to say the most.
Or how about when Monica Beverly Hills too, remember when she broke down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and like putting those moments in. Thank you.
It really gags me narratively that Monica Beverly Hills came out as trans on the stage and RuPaul said, great, you're in the bottom two and I want you to lip sync to Only Girl in the World. Like, what? Well,
then they did the thing that they do in the show a lot, was they would save her that episode and then just kick her out the next episode.
Yeah.
Okay, you get to, thank you for that. We're going to keep you for one more episode. Now, I really don't have a lot of thoughts. Here's what I have. Marsha comes in because they didn't have an after the elimination because of they already kind of did that last week. So we open up on next day and Marsha comes in and she says something, you know, she goes immediately to sort of mourning or talking about the elimination of Jax, which, okay, sure, whatever. But the first thing she says is like, it's a new day in the workroom and I'm coming in a good mood because, you know, I won on my first lip sync. I won the first lip sync and I was like, I don't know if, first of all, I was against Malaysia and Malaysia thought you were weak. That's why she chose you. I don't know if it's quite, it's no going to Stanford is what I'm trying to say.
Oh like,
I don't
God.
Know why you're bragging about this.
Yeah, no one thinks, no one finds her a threat, which I would be very insulted if I were her because she does have an impressive resume like Robert.
Yeah.
So, I would feel like she should kind of, not to dictate her mood, but like, girl, like, put a little fire under your ass or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it made me remember that she doesn't have any accolades yet. I don't even know that she's won a mini challenge.
Oh, true.
You know what Robert called me a couple weeks ago?
Hey, Simpletons.
And you know, he goes, you know who my favorite Drag Race person is? And I go, who? He goes, the guy that writes the music. And I didn't get what that meant for like a long time. And then I was driving and I was like, oh, so obvious. Anyway. For this week's Maxi
Challenge. Are you going to explain that, Josita?
I know. I don't understand where you were going.
That was all build up, no punchline.
Robert, explain it for everybody. Something I like to do, like, it's like jazz. It's the notes you don't play. It's for the people who get it, they get it.
That's so real, I got to say. But I didn't know that you had heard my internal monologue about how much I cannot stand that. What's his fucking name? Reese?
The music guy?
Yeah.
No, Leland.
Leland. Oh, I see where you're taking that. Thank you, Joe. No.
I don't get it.
It's for the girls who know and got a near perfect SAT score.
Yeah. If you know, you know. If you went to Stanford, you know. 100% actually. That's not a... It's 100%.
Oh, God.
Wikipedia, people. All right. For this week...
It's a long way to go for a small payoff, though. I'll say that.
Oh.
That's what the men in Colombia said. Now, let me tell you this.
All right. Very good.
For this week's Maxi Challenge, get ready for a crystal ball. The queens will serve three looks on the runway. The first one is Start Your Engines, an update of Rue's classic racing suit. Second is My Favorite Ball, a new take on former season's ball theme, or apparently just two or three seasons of balls. And then finally, Crystallized Eleganza, an original look made in the workroom dripping with crystals. In the workroom, the girls scramble to gather crystal materials. Sasha gets to work sewing appliques, and Anitra channels Kennedy's iconic chicken look. Was it a chicken look or a rooster?
More cock.
Definitely. Yeah.
Note to Joe in the future, please pull that clip of Robert saying that. Thank you. All right, next, Rue brings style icon Carson Kressley along for this week's table visits. Carson urges Spice to change up her silhouette, and Mistress wants to be known as the big girl with fashion. Selena is told her concept is a little too busy, and Rue challenges Selena to overcome her inner saboteur. Back in the workroom, the girls rib Lucy for her safe placement meltdown. Let's start with the queen of the universe, season two, Miss Christian Ochoa.
Oh my God. Imagine if I could sing. I'd be the most obnoxious fucking bitch.
Well, you already are. You can't sing.
I know. So imagine. Okay.
But we learned you can dance.
I can't dance.
All right. Go ahead.
So, living for them calling this bitch out.
Who?
I live for that shit.
Yeah, who? Who are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Are we talking about Lucy's, LaDuca, DeTula's meltdown?
Yeah, well, there's a bunch. You can talk about that.
The workroom in general.
Yeah, in general, but you can go ahead. Go with that. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I love it when they do that. And honestly, I did realize, like, damn, they're really giving her a hateable edit. Like, I kind of do feel bad for her because I'm like, no one likes her. Like, they're showing that no one in the room likes her. They're showing that clearly the editors don't like her. The producers yeah. don't like her. It's kind of, I feel bad for her, but at the same time, I am enjoying it. So that's kind of like what I liked about the workroom. And then, yeah, it was very, I don't really like this chaos of, it felt very, very erratic.
I'm going to stop you there for a second, Christian. Because I don't think Lucy even helps herself. I pulled a clip here. This is Lucy in a confessional. She sounds like a villain. I mean, she just makes herself sound like a villain. Listen to this.
I've been waiting for this since I've gotten here because I love to sew my own costumes. And it's my job now to show these people that I am the one to beat.
What?
I think she thinks she's self-aware.
I know. I think she thinks she's... But it's like, first of all, we're in episode 9. Two... I guess I can't, Robert, help me here. I'm really trying to wrap my brain around is why does she need to do this? Why does she need to show this? Yeah. Oh,
she is the Velvet Rage down.
You know what, Robert? She is the Velvet Rage. Oh my God.
It's her. It personifies. She needs to change her drag name stat.
Yeah, she needs to change her name to Velvet Rage. Oh my God, you're right. She is the Velvet Rage.
Let's explain what that is for the people who might not know the book.
Christian.
Yeah, Christian.
I have it in that fucking closet right behind me, bitch.
Let us see. Tell us a
Okay, well, tell
summary.
Us about it since you have it in the closet and you read it.
Oh my God, who said I read it? I just said I own it.
Robert, explain to the people what you mean.
The central thesis of The Velvet Rage is that most gay men, and yes, its lens is narrow upon like white, cisgendered American gay men, have experienced a lifetime of shame, and that shame has been internalized so deeply that that's why so many gays are desperate to be successful and gain validation through external factors and validation.
High achievers and...
I said validation twice, but yeah. Yes.
And, like, wearing the best clothes.
Like, I don't know, doing something stupid, like going to Stanford.
Do you feel like that was your Velvet Rage moment?
Well, I just wanted to get the fuck out of Modesto. It didn't matter where.
Yeah, but you even said, not to just belabor the point here, but you even said at one point that you were, like, the president of your class and everything, and, like, you were... Because wasn't he, like, high-achieving Christian in school?
Yeah, he bullied me in school. He was...
No, yeah, I did not.
Just kidding, just in that one interview. But it was totally warranted, because I was being a bitch too first.
No, but hold on. Here, let's end
this. No, he was the announcement voice.
Hold on. People don't know what you're talking about. So in a previous episode of Bring It to the Runway... they told a story about how Christian had to go for something for student council or something like that. And Robert was the president?
Yeah. Yeah, I was the class president.
And Robert and the school administrator that was involved, the sort of liaison, were sort of, Christian felt that they were kind of hard on him, right? And I think, Robert, you agreed you guys were hard on him, right?
Well, yeah, he read me at first and I read him back.
He read you first. I was going to ask, do you think because Christian is such a fucking gay boy that you knew internally that you were trying to distance yourself from him?
Oh, yeah, but that's not even internal psych 101. We all know that shit's like obvious for all the girls to see. No gay who wants to remain in the closet is going to make friends with a flamboyant little fat boy.
And I was friends with several of them.
Well, friends is a strong word. We only had like five or six in the whole school that were out. And no, I wasn't friends with none of them.
Christian, be honest. How many of them did you sleep with?
None. Ew. None. Nobody. It took...
I didn't even realize I was sexually interested in men until I moved out of Modesto.
Honestly.
Because there was just no men to see.
Also, Robert was a high achiever. He was the announcer every morning in school.
Christian, can you give us an announcement?
Welcome to the Daily Announcement, Simpleton. My name is Robert Mata, and I'm here with...
It literally sounds like the recording. It sounds like the AI recording a little bit.
Yeah.
I wasn't microphone trained. They just gave me the fucking phone and told me to talk.
Would you tell jokes or anything?
No, but I did ask my senior prom date out on the intercom.
Which, what did he say?
Caused an undue amount of pressure on her.
Oh.
Sorry, Rachel.
Oh, yeah. And I remember in my classroom when it happened, everybody was like, isn't he gay?
So?
Yeah.
I think I was in AP Psych with like hella people from your class.
Not them nerds.
All right, Robert, do you have any thoughts on these moments? Other than we just went from Christian and stuff like that. But.
Mm-hmm. My main thought was the show, RuPaul says, guess what, everyone? We have a main guest coming, and all the anticipation swelled. And then fucking Carson Kressley walks through the door in his usual, let's take the yacht out on a mid-spring day ensemble.
Yeah.
And then he makes the, I think he's self-aware type of joke where he's like, yes, it's just me. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? Ugh, it is just him. For the 200th episode, our guest in the workroom is Carson Kressley, who's been on the show for almost 10 years and has given us absolute nooch except low-hanging sex jokes. I just need the show to try harder.
I felt like he was being a little bit more, like, was giving more concrete feedback for once.
Yeah, I was actually thinking he should, like, I think RuPaul is done doing these table visits, right? I think it needs to be Ross or Carson.
Yeah.
Because I agree with Christian. I think he was giving real feedback.
Like, for once.
Well, for 200th episode, I would have loved a cameo from, like, Bibi Zahara-Benet or Merle Ginsburg. Something historical.
Oh, I wish. Oh, my God. I want Merle back so fucking bad. I love Merle.
First of all, I felt bad they were calling out Spice the way they did. But I wasn't here. I was here for it, though.
Oh, same.
It was kind of true.
Just like I felt bad for Lucy, I also felt bad for Spice. Because even we're getting ahead, but girl, the way that they were berating her in the workroom and then on the runway to her face, straight up. What was that fucked up comment that they just... It just slipped my mind. We'll come back to it when we get to the runway.
Also, this Selena, who knew she was such a fucking crybaby?
I have that in my notes also. Why is this bitch crying every single episode?
She needs to change her name to Chiona S. Titty. Seriously. By the way, because I probably will forget to bring this up during, and since we're talking about Selena, I'll probably forget to bring this up when we're talking about the looks. Once again, this bitch, showing she's not from Southern California... She goes, yeah, I'm going to be going down the PCH. I'm like, no one from Los Angeles says the PCH.
The PCH to the Emmys. How the fuck is the PCH getting you to the Emmys?
It's not. It's getting you to Oxnard, baby. It's worth
and a real you. LA bitch. So I avoid that shit. I don't even remember the last time I was on the PCH.
Well, you can't go now. Funny? It's probably underwater.
Yeah. The PCH, mama.
Yeah. I mean, I love how we're making fun of that, but then we say the 405 and the 5 and the 10.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we would just call it the 1.
Yes. We
True.
Would say the 1.
Yep.
But we wouldn't say the PCH. Yeah.
And it's, but it's all, let's let the listeners know that it's uncommon for us to even get on it.
It's like when people talk about San Francisco and call it San Fran.
Again, yeah, that's what Robert said, by the way, in Colombia. It's elimination day and the queens get ready for the runway. Anitra shares a painful memory involving her mother and the queens share their favorite moments from Drag Race history. Let's start with our very own Cardinal. If I'm the Pope, Robert's the Cardinal. Roberto Mata.
In which chapel? The 13th chapel or the 18th chapel?
No. Robert, do you know this story?
I don't.
I was out with Christian and Jessica and Gabe. Okay, Jessica and Gabe are... Jessica is Christian's roommate and Gabe is their friend. And we were out getting tacos. And I don't know why this came up, but Christian and Jessica, legit, not being funny, Robert, say, why is it called the 16th chapel? Like, where are the other chapels? Like, where are 1 through 15?
And I think Joe thought we were being funny because he's like, oh, yeah, because there's a 13th chapel. And then Gabe and Joe start being like, oh, yeah, the 18th chapel, whatever. And then we're like, no, but, like, what are the other famous ones? Why is the 16th the famous one?
You're on your Final Fantasy bullshit, girl.
Anyway, Robert Mata, go ahead.
Elimination Day it was?
Yeah.
Wait,
did you just pull a Yoda?
I that's how I think.
Did you hear him, Christian? I go, Robert, it's you. He goes, Elimination Day it was.
I was asking. It was an inquisitive statement.
George Lucas is from Modesto, so we have that.
There you go.
And so is Derek Barry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait, hold up. Back the fuck up. If you're the Pope and Robert's the Cardinal, what the fuck am I?
The altar boy. Anyways. Elimination Day, I really actually did feel for Anitra's story. It's not often that a tearjerker story actually does pull me in like that. And she's so soulful, and that was really quite something. I feel for her boots.
I am shook. I am shook. I already had an argument with Robert Mata in my head this morning about what he was going to say about this moment, and I was going to defend her. And the fact that she just pulled the old Stanford switch and like
listeners, please watch Joe's reaction on YouTube. Yeah. It was the most, I was like, is this bitch okay? Is his heart exploding?
Yeah.
Josito.
Yeah. I literally had a whole, I'm like, I didn't do it, but I was like, I'm going to go home and write a whole fucking response. So I'm already like thought it out when Robert goes here and talks about how he hates when fucking bitches tell the same old story. And then this fucking bitch surprises me.
So you agree?
I agree with you.
The only thing I didn't love, again, they didn't really give us a little bit more room to breathe and digest that moment, you know? Because it was impactful.
Well, that's what broke the tension immediately. Like, just no time to actually swim in that.
Well, here's the other thing, too. And this is how you know it was an organic. I think what's so funny about this moment, I think it started inorganically and then turned organic in that it was like, Anitra clearly being fed a line was like, any of you have any gay siblings? Which I'm like, why is anybody saying that? But then it turned into
looks up.
Yeah. She's like, it turned into a real moment. You know she was really crying because that Selena, I pulled the clip, but you couldn't really hear that well. She lost her fucking accent and fake ass voice so fast. Like it was, you know, Robert actually told us about that clip and I went and found it. I should have played it. But that voice came back out. So Robert told us about a clip of Selena that you can go find when she's a baby drag queen. And she has zero accent whatsoever. And then she, in this moment, has no accent. I'm like, oh, see, that's the real voice. And this is how we knew this was a genuine moment. Christian, do you have any thoughts on this Elimination Day?
I didn't love how clear the writing was on the wall. You know?
You want to elaborate?
Like we could clearly tell what the, like, in sense of, like, Spice going home and Selena being in the bottom. You know?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the looks, which we are all set up for right here on Bring It to the Runway. Oh, before we do, though, let me see. I have all my different little recordings here. Let's do Christian. Since you're here, Christian, why don't we do Christian talking about YouTube?
Hello, Drag Race fans. It's me, Christian Ochoa, your favorite Afterthought host. If you love our RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast, you'll want to check.
Oh, wait. I want to interrupt this, everybody. We're doing something new this week, and by the time you get this, it won't matter, but for the following weeks, we're not going live on YouTube anymore. Now the show, the episode just drops YouTube premiere at 5 p.m. Pacific every Saturday. So subscribe, smash that notification button, and during the break, Christian and Robert and I, we're going to take a picture for the cover. We go like this, like we're holding something, we're like, because I think that gets a lot of like hits on YouTube when people do that. And so just know that. So the show drops now at 5 p.m. every Saturday on YouTube slash YouTube.com/DragRaceRecap. Or back to Christian. Sorry, Christian, I didn't have to do it.
Got our YouTube channel, where you'll get all the latest live recordings of our show, as well as access to past live recordings. It's the perfect place to relive all the drama, comedy, and fabulousness of Drag Race and get the inside scoop from your favorite hosts. And the best way to make sure you never miss a live recording? Simply subscribe to our channel at YouTube.com/DragRaceRecap, and you'll be notified every time we go live. So join the party, and let's recap Drag Race together.
We are back. We are back right here on Bring It to the Runway, essentially, the Bring It to the Runway portion of the show. And what we're going to do right now is we are going to discuss the looks. And we're going to do it by
category.
By category. And just and this is not a shade or retort to anybody, because I know how we are. And so I'm going to put a 10-minute timer per category. Okay? And I'll watch it and we'll monitor it. But let me open up this first category, Mama. And we're going to talk about the looks one by one. Special thanks, by the way, to JTP for helping me get these looks. The first one, now the category is the one about the RuPaul racing. Start your engines. The racing suit.
Updating the classic.
The classic
racer.
The classic racer outfit.
Jumpsuit.
The first one we have here. His mistress, Isabel Brooks. Christian, let's start with you. What is she wearing?
She's wearing a red vinyl stretch catsuit with a white vinyl panel on the right and left side. And she said she is wearing all Big Girls Pass sayings have been ironed onto this catsuit. I think she looks very polished. She always looks very put together, and that really helps this. Her body looks great, but it's a little too safe for me and a little too on the nose, and I don't care for all the catchphrases being put on there. I think it's just kind of random.
I'm really liking who the fuck is Heather on there. Roberto Mata. I know usually, you love the color, but what else do you love?
That's not even Stanford Red. That's cherry red.
I just say I know you like the color. No one brought up Stanford. Well, I don't know why you're going there.
God, you think you're Robert. So fucking
Robert,
sly.
Shit, like, not everything revolves around Stanford.
And pine trees.
All right, I do love pine trees. But usually I hate words on the runway. Like, it's always such a miss. But I think this was a really cute example of how to do it. I really appreciated the homage to all the big girls. Like, there was, I think on her side, she had, ew.
Oh, really?
There's just, yeah, there's so many other ones. So I thought it was a fun way to coalesce this with the 200th episode theme.
All right. Very good. Christian, did you get all your thoughts out?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next, we have Spice here. Robert, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you thought. Tell us about Spice's look. And, oh, by the way, everyone listening, I have to really push for you to go to YouTube. We have the looks as a reference here. We're going to do our best to describe them. But I would really, even if you want to just jump to this moment in the YouTube channel, I would highly recommend doing it. I think it's a lot more helpful to hear them talk about the looks as you watch them as well. But go on to describe what Spice is wearing there, Robert.
Spice is wearing the exact same fabric that Mistress Isabel Brooks wore as thigh-high tights, I guess. I don't
know. Let's be honest with you.
The same chunky heel.
It's probably one of the legs of the tights.
Oh, God. You said that. You saw that. She has a checker motif on her heels, the bottom of her skirt, and a flag that she's holding that for no reason says ding-a-ling other than the fact that she is a ding-a-ling, and her visor.
Baby, the boys want to know where it's at. That's why she's holding the flag.
Is that a thing? Like, I'm not a TikToker. Does she say that all the time? I didn't catch what that was except for a stupid-ass confessional.
She wrote it on the mirror, too. I wonder if this was, like, a work-that-puss situation where she was trying to make it a thing, but we didn't really see it.
A jump out of the car moment?
Jump out of the... Yeah. Okay, for those references, Work That Puss is Jaden Dior Fierce. That was like her...
Attempt
at a catchphrase that they kind of fucked her over on because she never said it really on the show that we saw. And then the jump in a car, jump out is Fifi. That was like her thing. I never got that either. Christian, did you talk about this look yet?
I actually liked it. It was one of my favorites for this category because it is an update. For one, it's not a racer suit. It's a dress. And I liked that she paid a lot of attention to the details. For one, the boots are really sick. Even though I can definitely see how she concocted these, they are still very effective. The flag was a cute moment. And I liked the visor. I see it. I see the fantasy. The color story kind of reminds me of Charlie's Angels when Cameron Diaz was in the racer pursuit. That would have been my reference if I was to do this runway. But I like the hair. I like her in this hair color. It's cute. She looks cute.
All right. Very good. Next, we have Lux Noir London. Do you want to give us your thoughts on this look, Christian Ochoa?
Quickly.
Lux is wearing a two-piece hot pink deconstructed racer jacket, and then she made it into a skirt with a thigh-high white lace-up patent leather pleasers. I did not really like this, but I like the hair, and I love the colors on her. And the flag was dope. I was in color guard, so I can appreciate a good flag twirl. I only did it for one season. It was very embarrassing.
I said quickly, girl, stop talking about yourself.
Anyways, but I just didn't like how... I liked how she sold it, but I did not like the actual garments. They were not good.
All right, Robert.
The only thing I really noticed about this look was that she wore those exact boots last week. So the girl's getting her money's worth.
Patent leather pleasers?
Yeah, whatever order of patent leather pleaser and boots you want to call them, that's a common trend. I think this is probably my least favorite Lux look that she's worn, unfortunately.
I agree.
All right, very good. Next, we have Marsha. Robert, give us a tea on her.
So she is wearing a bunch of shit. The patent white leather pleaser boots. She's wearing a...
multicolor pastel rainbow palette.
She said it was Rainbow Road, and it really turned me up because as a Mario Kart Double Dash Rainbow Road World Champion of 2006, I don't see how the fuck this is Rainbow Road with this happy Easter-ass palette. Keep it. But the wig was sick. So thanks for that.
And this is the best she's ever looked.
I wouldn't go that far.
Christian, what do you think here?
You don't think this is the best she's ever looked on the show so far? When has she looked better than this? Anyways, the wig, everything, it was giving me Farrah Fawcett fantasy, great movement. Yes. I do like the color palette, but I agree with Robert. It wasn't the reference that she was saying it was, but I think this is the best she's ever looked. I thought she looked really pretty. This was one of my favorites for this category.
Oh.
All right, very good.
Well, yeah, very good. You didn't end this. Thank you, Robert. It's Robert picked up on a tick that I noticed about myself.
Very good.
I almost said very good. But Christian didn't end the sentence the way you end a sentence. He was like, he ended on an up note rather than a down note. So I didn't know he was done. All right, very good.
I love speech therapy.
Yeah. That's what we call that. We should rename the show speech therapy. All right. next, we have, Selena S. Titties. Christian, why don't you tell us? Now, I want you to know we have 3 minutes exactly left. So
it's a baby blue and black and white vinyl striped, oversized, more not like the racer suit. It's the one where the mechanics wear like that coverall. There we go. Baggy. So I like the color choices. I like the hair. I thought she looked really good and polished, but I actually don't love the fit of this. It's not as effective. Maybe if you wanted to give us a baggier pant, I would have need more structure on the top. The proportions are kind of throwing me off.
All right. Very good. Robert?
She wanted to say that the bagginess was a part of what she was going for, right. But I think she was clearly just coming up with an excuse, which reminded me of like in season 4 when Latrice's clothes weren't fitting because she was losing so much weight because production was malnourishing them. So maybe that's the case here. Maybe she's spending all her fucking time crying. She doesn't have any more weight going on. So it's not her fault, is what I'm saying. I think, yeah. I hope, I pray.
Good point. All right, next we have, all right, Malaysia baby doll fox. Robert, why don't you give us what she's wearing here?
A baby pink bodysuit with an executive belt in silver wrapped around the middle, holding a helmet. I thought that it was a good look, but completely nondescript, which is what Malaysia gives every time.
All right, Christian?
I completely agree, but I did like, I think she looks great, though. That being said, the wig was giving me, like, Nicki Minaj back in the day, the Pink Friday, the yes. super bass moment. I think uh-huh. she looks gorgeous. This color looks so great on her. She knows her body, and she was giving me a little bit of Judy Judson here. She's cute. It was giving me a retro feel, and I liked it.
All right, very
but
good.
But very safe, very safe.
We have a said. Minute to do three people. Next, we have Lucy LaDuca. Christian, you want to tell us what she's wearing here?
I loved it. It was one of the ones that stood out the most. Her body looks great. She definitely looks like a superhero. Like a character, for sure.
Yeah, she's wearing some sort of like... she has. First of all, she has a heart on. And then some sort of like racing suit, pink, purple, silver thing. Robert, what are your thoughts?
I hated it. This is the perfect example of how things can be cutesy without being cute.
All right.
And that foam pony was...
We have 30 seconds here for two more. Here we go. Sasha Colby, Robert.
Go.
She said, Robert, girl, this is when you have to work at the pit stop at 11, but then host the BAFTAs at 12. Very... Sasha Colby did the thing. And I wasn't sure if I liked it, but looking at it now, I do. Christian, go.
I actually don't like it. I think it looks cheap. I don't think it looks that elegant. I don't love that she made it a bandeau crop top on top with the long sleeves. I wish it was one full gown.
All right. Finally, Anitra. She's wearing a green jumpsuit. I mean,
Kill Bill moment.
Okay. All I'm going to let you do is give like a Tudor boot. That's it. Robert, Tudor boot.
Toot. Weed. In her heart. Slayed me.
Christian boot.
Love the styling. She always looks good, but the jumpsuit is so basic. It looks like a costume out of the bag.
All right. Very good. That's the first look. Now we're going to go to the second look, which the second look was like your favorite ball or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, which means, which now we know the girls have only watched the most recent three or four seasons.
And I want to ask you too, yeah. what ball would you have chosen?
The glitter ball.
Oh, really?
I
think it's the easiest one to look good, which the final challenge very much proved. Although I guess the redundancy would have been a bit tired.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have done the book ball.
That was a good one.
I liked that one, season 8.
That was the best ball.
Yeah.
And
no one did the book ball. Yeah.
I liked the book ball. I liked the dog ball. I actually liked it a lot.
The bitch ball?
The bitch ball. I would have done the bitch ball, I think, or the candy ball. I do love the candy ball. Hated the way it was referenced, though.
What did they call the season 9 one that was Pride? Was it just the Pride
the
ball?
The Pride float?
No, they did...
No, it was really controversial.
And the village people.
Yeah, they call it the prep ball. It was people got really mad.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, you're talking about with Peppermint. And
yes.
Sasha.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Now we have the next ball, which I think I have the names here. I think the official name was My Favorite Ball. My Favorite Ball is the official name. Okay, I'm going to start the timer again. Here we go. First up, we have Mistress Isabel Brooks. Christian, why don't you go ahead and describe the look for us?
Mistress Isabel Brooks, shut it the fuck down. She served in this Club Kid-inspired vinyl beach ball look in all the beach ball primary colors. It's very whimsical. I loved it. Gorgeous silhouette. Loved that she used the balls for titties. I think that's the part that was the cherry on top.
All right, Robert.
I appreciated the face bikini. I appreciated the concept. I didn't understand why the green paneling on her leg and arm are lime green while the other panels have typical Kelly green, but green's my favorite color, so that's why I noticed that shit. And the anal bead hair is probably something we've seen a lot, but I thought it was good.
All right, very good. Next, we have Marsha. Robert, why don't you go ahead and tell us about this?
she looks like Little House on the Prairie, Go Churn Your Butter, and Sarah Plain and Tall all mixed into one. I was not vibing with the peach-colored miniskirt and a corset with ruffled sleeves, and for some reason she is holding bags on a stick.
Christian. No.
So she's referencing the bag ball, and she said it's a full burlap cottage core situation, and she said this is what milkmaids would look like at Fashion Week. I think not, because cottage core is definitely a trend, and this is just not it. All it was right, safe. Good. I thought she looked pretty, but boring.
All right, very good. Next, we have Malaysia Baby Doll Fox. Christian, let's start with you.
I love the hairball. Kim Chi won this her season, and yeah, yes, she's giving us this.
Yara Sofia won the hairball.
Oh, and Yara Sofia, but oh, you're right, Kim Chi. That was
redid
her category.
It on the 100th episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, love the ball reference. Cruella De Vil Fantasy. I thought she looked really good. This was one of my favorites for this category.
Roberto Mata.
I thought she was doing the bitch ball. So I was expecting, because of the Cruella De Vil monotone look. But
no, I think it's because Sharon Needles gave us that.
It looks more like dog hair of any than human hair. I don't know what kind of hair Malaysia used to compile this look. I liked it, but again, it doesn't have much character, strangely. Why does Malaysia lack character?
You're right. She has a big personality, but it never comes through in her drag, really.
More like Malaise, right? Are you with me there, Robert?
Malaise? I don't know.
Next, moving on. I liked it.
Next, we have Spice. Robert, tell us about Spice.
Spice is in a black and purple and lavender... seems like 80s fitness-inspired bodysuit with the leg warmers and random cutouts. I hated it. I did not understand why she decided to go for this type of look for the ball. Not it for me.
I want to go back to this Malaise joke I made.
Are you talking about illnesses?
A general feeling of discomfort, illness, or uneasiness whose exact cause is difficult to identify. Yeah, but that's a better name for, instead of Malaysia Baby Doll Fox, she's Malaise Baby Doll Fox. I'm going to stick by that joke. I'm going to stick by that joke the same way I was in San Francisco and I ordered an Uber and I was with two friends of mine, right? And a Chevy Volt, a fat guy in a Chevy Volt, picked us up in the Uber, right? And we were going up one of those steep San Francisco hills and the car was struggling. And I said, I think the car is going to change its name to Revolt. And no one laughed. And I thought it was a funny joke because it was me and another big fat guy. And no one thought it was funny. And I'm going to stick with that and Malaise Baby Doll Fox. All right, Spice.
Did you halt the clock for that?
No, I didn't. Spice, what did you think of that, Christian?
The pom-pom balls, the craftiness of it all. I mean, it's not really a bodysuit, but she just glued a bunch of shit on a two-piece outfit.
Yeah, that's a better way of saying
too
it.
Too safe, yeah. She looked good, though, but safe.
But what's more egregious, this is something she brought. They didn't make this.
Yeah, exactly. It's too DIY. Kind of like Lucy's, which we're moving on to soon.
All right, next we have Selena S. Atitis. Why don't you tell us about this one, a Christian Ochoa?
She says she's giving us a palm tree fantasy. This is from the Money Ball. Girl, she tried so hard and the details were fun, but no, the girl, this you don't look good. I love her makeup and her hair, but yeah, it's not a good look. Why would you want to look like this?
Robert?
As you can see all around me, I love palm trees. I was waiting for a palm tree look at some point. I thought that it was a strange choice to equate money to palm trees. Doesn't make a lot of sense. She's giving us the EBT sticker on top, which Selena wants to remind us yet again that she's a fake girl from the hood. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the wig. Unless she wants to do the frayed middle of palm trees that happens, I don't think she wanted to do that. But I think she could have made this look better if she had made the palm fronds much larger and emphasized her shoulders. I don't know that would have made the proportions completely off, but at least we would have gotten palm tree from it instead of whatever mess we're seeing now.
All right, very good. Next, we have Lucy LaDuca. Christian Ochoa, why don't you tell us about this one?
girl, what the fuck was this? It is an off-the-shoulder white circle skirt, short, long-sleeve dress with a white corset over it with blue laces. And she used dog shit bags for her flower crown and her skirt, barely. And I agree with them. It should have been covered in that. No, girl, no, no.
Robert? No.
This was a midsummer interpretation of Gigi Good's incorrectly winning ball look from the ball. And secondly, who the fuck liked the bag ball at all? Nonetheless, for us to have like three recreations of that. No one wants to remember anything from season 13. Nonetheless, that raggedy ass ball.
Honestly, I wish someone were to reference LaLaurie's bag ball.
It would have been fun.
Oh, that would have been more fun. Yeah.
Give us a shit ton of little shopping bags and like make a gown. Like this is what she should have done kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, this was in it.
That would have been a good idea, Christian. All right. Next, we have Lux Noir London. Why don't you go and take us off with this, Robert?
She said it was heavily inspired by a Mugler piece, and I looked it up, and it's not heavily inspired. It's a direct replica.
Yeah, it is.
On top of that, Naomi Smalls already wore it for the Vegas review. So
really?
All these... Like, there are bajillions and jillions of looks. How are so many drag queens going to come upon the same thing and then just recreate?
And I have heard, well, they always reference Terry Mugler, and that's also why.
They do.
It's,
and I'm so glad they don't do that lobster look anymore, because it always looked bad.
But there's a difference. Like, I think Robert's making a great point about there being a difference when it's, like, Detox or Violet doing it, right? Which they either really honor and respect the look, or they, like, make it their own, and these everybody else is just kind of replicating, and it's getting very tired, especially since Lux has, I mean, I think this was one of the better looks, but I agree. If I was going to chastise Spice for just replicating Britney Spears last week, this week I should give this bitch the same treatment, even though she looks incredible. Yeah, and Naomi Smalls, actually, Lux has come out and said, like, oh, I'm very heavily inspired by her. Naomi Smalls is like, I could tell by the nose contour. But now Robert has cleared it up that Naomi's already worn this. That makes me like it even less, because I just think Lux has it in her. And I hope that with age, she can cultivate her own identity and point of view.
All right, next we have a Sasha Colby.
My favorite look.
Describe it for us, Christian.
Yeah, I've been begging for a Kush reference. Did I not foresee this? And I had no idea that Colby Kush was going to strut down the runway. You guys, the fact that she put a red light bulb in the blunt fascinator and it lit up so she could let them know, bitch, I'm lit. And I said, this is why she won. Like, okay, so she's giving us this little ganja bob with a green chartreuse bob. I like that she's very smart with color theory. Her eyeshadow's pink, which pink and magenta are opposite on the color wheel from greens. So that's really smart. And then she has this glittery weed leaf corset with a fucking baggie of weed as a skirt. This is how you drag it up, because look at the proportions. It's a humongous blunt. They're huge weed leaves, and the baggie, it's not the actual size of like weed nugs. She made them big and clearly exaggerated the proportions of everything. This was fun. It's camp, and it is a different side that we haven't seen of her. So I loved it.
Robert, you have 12 seconds. Are we having
and I want to smoke some Colby Kush with Robert.
Let's get some. I loved it. I loved the smoke effect and the light bulb. It was my favorite part.
All right. Once again, Anitra, we're like Anitra's mom.
Girl. Weak. Another fucking half skirt, and I'm gonna give my time to Robert for this. Talk about
it. I was happy that she did an old ball. I just don't understand why she did those little shit swirls from Digimon as on top of her teta. That ain't candy, that's shit. But the tiny pony also made no sense to me, unless it was supposed to look like a Sour Patch straw, in which case work. But I didn't get sweet from this.
This really let me down, the gumdrops on the half skirt silhouette shit again. Like, I'm so tired of it on her. With a basic bodysuit, because I'm not seeing leotard anymore around you guys. Anyways.
Well, now you said it correctly.
I was disappointed.
All right, very good. Now we're going to go over to the crystal ball. Now that's an easy one to remember. Let's go over there. We're going to reset the timer. All right, here we go.
Where was the Crystal Waters She's Homeless reference? Or the Pure Love reference? I saw her performing live last year and she was amazing. Anyways.
All right, next. First we have Mistress. Oh, let me start the timer all over again. All right, Mistress Isabel Brooks. Start with you, Christian.
Mistress Isabel Brooks is wearing a floor-length gown. I appreciate it a lot more because this is how you do simple in a clean way. She was very strategic with her placement of the crystals on her bust line and them dripping off her shoulder and on the hemline, which makes me like this more. She kind of looks like Paquita del Barrio if she dyed her hair black a little bit. Like, does she not give Paquita del Barrio?
Who's that?
I see the Latina in her. Bitch, you don't know who Paquita del Barrio is? Rata de dos patas, te estoy hablando a ti.
I'm a yo no sabo viejo.
Oh, God.
You could still be a yo no sabo kid and know, like, fucking pop icons. She's the homophobic one that they were like, oh, don't you feel special because all these drag queens like perform your songs and lip sync to your songs, and she's like, no, I don't like faggots, like, basically is what she said.
Oh, so she's Shania Twain.
Oh, I don't even think, man, Paquita would go on as a guest judge though. So
that was so funny.
What?
The Shania Twain moment.
Oh yeah, because I don't even know she knew what show she was on.
She was scared.
She's Kevin.
Did you guys listen to
her
What's the Tea interview though? Her What's the Tea interview while she was recording that episode. Uh-huh. She was cool as fuck, but then yeah, I guess they did it before she got on the show.
Well, hold on for a second, because now that you made this reference, I gotta stop everything now. I found
Paquita.
I found her. Make a reference to find her right here. So you're saying that she's giving this.
If she like aged, with dark hair. This isn't classic Paquita, but Paquita usually wears a white gown and it's all Swarovski out or something or sequin, and it's yeah.
I swear this is every one of my grandma's friends at the club, at the Latin club in Montebello that meets a Quiet Canon.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is it what's it called? Florentine Gardens?
No, the golf course in Montebello. Quiet Canon, they meet
there. Oh, the one that you told me about when I was driving past it, and you're like, that place used to be it.
Oh, yeah.
As the Sergeant of Arms, we need to get back to topic.
All right, very good. Sergeant at Arms. 6.5 minutes left. Are we done with Mistress Isabel Brooks?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to say that it was beautiful, but at the end of the runway, she did what a lot of big girls like to do, which is just open their mouth and pretend to laugh. Like, Darian Lake loved to do it. Eureka loved to do it. Bag of Chips loved to do it. Nina West loved to do it. I don't understand why that's a thing.
They're always laughing.
It's just, it's a quiet laugh. It's like they do a jolly thing. It's a strange thing. It's weird.
All right, next we have Spice. Christian. No, Robert, tell me about Spice.
Keeping it short, she did exactly what Carson told her not to do, which was grab a disco ball and walk out on that stage, and I live.
Mm-hmm.
So true. This bitch gave no flying fucks. Her hair, love it. But yeah, it's like a disco ball corset top, which is cool. It's very similar to what she did in the first design challenge. And she did give us, but honestly, you guys, I actually liked it. It's very current. I can actually see these pieces in stores. It's a lace-up detail on the skirt. Mm-hmm. I mean, these fabrics are in style. I actually thought this was safe. I didn't think it deserved to be in the bottom, to be honest.
All right, next we have Marsha. Christian, tell us about this look.
I liked when she said, I have this brooch on my vaginta. I thought that was cute. A vaginta. Never heard that before. Safe. Thigh
Robert,
high.
Go.
Stockings and matching, like, little whatever.
Yeah, Mary, she's like a Fern Gully fairy crossed with one of those Sky Dancer toys from the 90s that you, like, spin and then it flies away. I thought it was a perfectly safe look. I just didn't understand why she said that she looked like an old-timey stripper. Like, it's this thing that, like, desperate gays do and they want to seem interesting. They're like, I'm a street worker, I'm a stripper, I'm a prostitute. And it's like, none of this is that.
Not even Moulin Rouge-y. Like,
not even. No, it's far too covered up. But, hey.
All right, next we have Malaysia Baby Doll, Malaysia Baby Doll Fox. Best joke of the day.
Vivian Panay.
Yeah, let's just start with that, Robert.
It's a standard Malaysia look. It looks clean, a clean white gown with a belt strapped around the middle. Very beautiful, but nondescript again.
Christian?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but the girl always looks polished and put together, which is, you know. But yeah, it looks a lot like all the drag she's already worn on the runway. Boring.
All right. Next, we have Selena Estetis. Christian, give us your thoughts on this.
Pink satin, heart-shaped neckline, strapless, thigh-high slit gown with this, like, canary yellow crystal embellishment in this intricate chevron pattern. I didn't think it was terrible. Obviously, there's a lot of fit issues. Maybe if she would have just focused on the satin gown and then just gave us the embellishment as trimming on the neckline and maybe on the sides for seams and on the hemline, I think that would have been more effective use of her time.
All right, very good. Roberto Mata?
I thought it was so nasty how the producers, Selena says, I'm feeling very pretty, and the producers do a close-up of her face in a really twisted proportion with, like, Crustables viewing. It was just such, it was just so mean-spirited. I did not love this look. I saw why she's in the bottom. Bad proportions, basically, which is her thing all the time.
Actually, I think the proportions are fine. It's more just the execution of the look was bad.
Well, I should say the dress isn't tight where it needs to be tight right. to emphasize the portions.
The fit issues, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Next, we have Lucy LaDuca. You want to start here, Robert Mata?
I just love that Lucy used this look to talk about how she was in the bottom three in episode one yet again. And like I said, a redux of Trixie's back into season seven look where she did a dejected prop sister. So there she is. There's Lucy.
All right, Christian.
That's a good point. And she had a really good fabric choice, and I am disappointed in what she was able to execute with it. I thought Carson's critique was 100% spot on. And you guys, why the fuck do we always gotta do the fucking most? I'm runner up, you know, I lost, I have to give it a character all the fucking time. No, bitch, just wear a nice dress, strut your shit. It's a fucking ball challenge, not an acting challenge. It gets very frustrating. You're not selling shit, girl. You're just selling yourself short as a loser. No.
Well, Malaysia did just the opposite of that, or rather, she did exactly what you said just one time ago, and we just read her for it. So what's the true tea?
But Malaysia's outfit wasn't it.
All right, well, I guess we don't have time.
All right,
next, very good.
We have Lux Noir London. We have just over a minute left. Go ahead, Robert.
I thought this was gorgeous. I couldn't believe she constructed this in the workroom. I respect that she couldn't walk in it. It reminded me of Chi-Chi's book ball look, which was in Naomi. They both did a similar sort of explosive type of construction. I loved it. She must have been pissed she wasn't in the top.
All right, Christian.
See, if you're going to give it some type of a character, at least this made more sense and it wasn't trying so desperate, you know? I loved it. She looks like a Swarovski ornament. It was, at first I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I was like, oh no, the details are there. She looks right. I feel like if her first look wasn't so basic, she could have been in the top.
All right, Sasha Colby, we have 15 seconds left. Christian.
I didn't agree that this should have won.
Robert?
I liked it, but she must have been so pissed hearing that voiceover when she said that she wanted to seem like the queen of Hawaii, and then Michelle makes a really tired joke about owning 51% of some tree. Like, so disrespectful. Like, it called me back to when Yara Sofia wore a traditional Puerto Rican gown, and Michelle Visage is like, that looks like a Snuggie.
Like, do you girls think that she should have won for this?
I can see why she did. I don't have any other winner in mind.
Girl, Anitra's gown.
It was a very good ball overall, construction challenge overall.
So Anitra, I actually took two pictures. Here's the rear of it, and here's the front.
Anitra's wearing a trumpet gown, long sleeve, plunging neckline with these, like, glass-looking, clearly plastic, like, icicle shards. and she's giving it to us almost like a spinal column in the back and the detail going down the sleeves. It's exactly what RuPaul said, that savage beauty that we love McQueen for. But it also reminded me of D Squared when they were doing all the heels and the pieces with the dinosaur fossil like bones. This was sick. I can't believe she made this there. It looks better than all the things she brought with her. And she should have won for the design, but she was very weak and fell short in the other categories. So I can also see why Sasha won, and I want Sasha to win the competition, but I also didn't think this was her best work. So, but wow, Anitra looks amazing.
Robert, you want to give a quick thought here?
It reminded me when Aura Mayari showed off her acting skills by revealing a black glittery back. But I liked it. I just wasn't sure about the wig choice here.
All right. Very good.
What do you think she should have done instead?
That's what I was trying to think of. I don't know. So it's a stupid, empty critique because I don't know what... I think the color of the auburn orange is just off with the peach. I think it's the color.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, very good. Well, those are the looks. On the main stage, RuPaul names Sasha Colby the winner of the challenge and places Spice and Selena Estides in the bottom two, forcing them to face off in a lip-sync battle for their lives. The song, That's What I Want, by Lil Nas X. In the end, Selena's told Shantae you stay, while Spice is asked to sashay away. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? Let's start with you, Robert Mata.
I saw the preview for the next episode and saw Frankie Grande and vocally said, get the fag off the TV. I'm not watching that. Yeah. I've watched 200. There are 200 episodes of Drag Race and I've watched 199. The one that I haven't is the season 10 makeover when they brought in Tyler Oakley and Frankie Grande.
Because you dated both of them.
No, I said, cut the cameras, dead ass. I am not doing that. And I don't know if I'll be clocking in.
Wait,
next
did you date Frankie Grande, Robert?
I did not. I may have dated some of their exes at times, but none of that. Christian, do you know that?
Yeah, that's why I said it.
Oh. Not Frankie Grande, so just don't.
Okay, so I got some very sick, twisted pleasure out of watching the judges being complete cunts to Spice, but I felt so bad for her. They were going so in on her, telling her, the best part about your runway was watching you hold back, not trying to trot. I was like...
It's clear Michelle actually does not like her and is always doing a very forced smile. Like, kind of, maybe it's this New Jersey Long Island rivalry thing where she doesn't want to see a new Supreme rise and she hates that bitch and wants to steal her youth.
That's a good point. It definitely reminds me of an Ursula Little Mermaid situation. I felt really bad for Spice. I thought that they were being kind of rude. And Spice came out. I'm so happy. She's so positive, right? Like, she was just positive the whole episode. She has such a bright light to her. She's so likable. And even, like, honestly, she didn't do that bad in the lip sync. What did you guys think?
Oh, my God. It was horrible.
I mean, it was a bad lip sync in general, but I'm saying between her and Selena, it wasn't like Selena won by a landslide. But I'm also saying the song choice was really bad.
They were both awful. I don't know the choice Selena was making.
It's a very interesting thing for Spice to sort of turn her nose up at the show in a small way by exiting by saying, well, I don't know how to lip sync, which is a strangely kind of bratty in a less cunty way. Like, you should at least know how to lip sync of all things.
Well, just a couple of things. I don't know if you've seen this, Robert. I know Robert goes on the Reddits. Is Spice is already sort of changing the narrative a little bit. And she's claiming that there was, like, producer interference, going with, like, that kind of conspiracy theory, that it was stacked up against her. She's also said that she heard from, or she heard at least, that Michelle was talking shit about her the whole, and Sugar the whole time during to her makeup artist.
I believe that.
Yeah. But then was also saying that, you know, her lip sync was great and she thought her looks were safe enough to be safe. And so they just clearly wanted her to go home. What do you guys feel about that? Do you guys feel it's real?
I do.
I would hope that Michelle has better things to do than talk shit about the contestants on the show that makes her name recognizable. Like, talk, I don't know, talk, tell us about your daughter's depression again.
Oh
Well, the thing is that, like, there were some people who were coming for Michelle for, like, not liking. They were like, who is she to judge? I'm like, she's literally a judge on this show. My only thing is, just stay on the fucking show. Say it on the show. Why are you
say it on the show and be real? I completely agree with you.
I did notice Michelle said that she said when we do drag this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, I noticed that too. I was like, she goes, we have a resting bitch face when we do drag. I was like, girl.
Oh, and then she said, you look like the Deathly Hallows. What fucking sense does that make? The Deathly Hallows are a rock, a wand, and a cloak. You can't look like a rock, a wand, and a cloak. Stupid.
Don't, if you ever want to get Robert worked up, is make a mistake about the Harry Potter.
Nerd shit.
This bitch on Harry Potter.
I thought she meant like the Headless Horseman.
What?
Like the guy.
At the 16th chapel?
Oh,
Ichabod Crane?
I thought that's what she was talking about.
I don't think so.
But that even then, that didn't make sense because I was like, I thought he didn't have a face.
No, but also that's Sleepy Hollow where the...
That's Sleepy Hollow. That's what it was, yeah. No, yeah. She said Deathly Hallows. Makes no
she
fucking
did say
sense.
Deathly Hallows. She did say it's Deathly like,
it's
Hallows.
Like, it's like saying, Joe, today you look like a lightsaber.
What the fuck did you just call me?
A lightsaber head ass bitch.
Anyway, any other final thoughts on the episode?
Well, just that I will miss Spice's just having fun. I think that as somewhat elder gays, like, people talk all the time about wanting to, like, be gay activists and pave the way for younger generations to hopefully not have to go through all the horrible shit that everyone has to go through growing up. And it seems like Spice is the example of someone who's benefited from that, but now people want to turn the narrative around and say, well, why aren't you trying harder to be a better example of the community? Why don't you have more trauma? Why aren't you like the rest of us? And I feel like that's a bit sad.
And no, but we were able to see that the twins had trauma, but their personality doesn't have to revolve around their fucking trauma, you know? And I agree with you, Robert.
Well, look, I get what Robert is saying, but what I feel about, I can't speak about Sugar because she left too soon, but with Spice, you know, RuPaul's big thing, especially when you listen to that stupid podcast, was that, why can't you just have fun, and why you don't take life so seriously?
Yes.
And I feel that Spice had a very appropriate approach to the show, where this is a contest, this is a competition, I'm having
fun. She's there to have fun.
I'm here to have fun, and it's not that big of a deal, it's just drag, you know? And she wasn't good at it, you know? No. Well, look, you know, I'll say the same thing about her that I said about Trixie Mattel. I'll be honest with you. I think Trixie Mattel is a good drag queen. Obviously, she's one of the most successful. But I think she's very bad at the competition. There are some people who are really good at their form of drag, but they're really bad at this competition. And I think that's Sugar and Spice. They have a little niche in their TikTok world, you know, and they're good at that. But they're just not good at this competition.
Trixie's also a really bad DJ. I just wanted to make that clear.
That
she's horrible.
Awful. We went to one of her Halloween parties, and she was a featured DJ, and there was no dancing.
And it was 2 hours. It was a two-hour set.
Trixie fans, you guys have to learn as Drag Race podcasters. That there are certain queens that if you talk about them,
I am a Trixie fan, and she needs to know that that was a horrible set, especially because I heard her on a podcast talk about how hard she went and she prepared so much and how it was one of her best sets. And I was like, that's your best?
Okay. You're very lucky that I have
white
so much
mediocrity at its finest.
She was going to put on Mumford and Sons.
You're very lucky that I have experience in this realm. I've already set up a hate email channel. If Robert and Christian offended you, you need to email our hate email line at thebestoftoday@gmail.com. That's where you can be as nasty and horrible, say horrible things about them. That is the email address we have for that. thebestoftoday@gmail.com. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15. So, for Roberto Steinford Mata, and Christian Ochoa, and myself, you know, Nathan's not here. Sashay away. You know what? I don't like this sashay away until next week. Sashay away.
Thank you for listening to Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This podcast was produced by Luke Stamen and Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has two other podcasts. The first is Breaking Down Bad Books, and the other is Bravo Bravo Effing Bravo. You can find those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nathan Brown on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters: Alex S. Anonymous, April Pacheco, Astute Girl, Brad Coley, Carter McKinnon, Corinna Williamson, Deckhead, Doofus Maximus, E. Smith, Elizabeth Timmer, Emma, Humble Pie, J. Thomas Plank, Jesse Harris, Lauren Eckert, Lucy Carrasco, Luke Stamen, Mike Yeager, Nicholas Springham, Nikki Baker, Poppy Woods, Ricardo Herrera, Robert NYC, Sarah Yu, Robin Egenberger, Tom Bombs, Travi Cosmos, Troy Anderson, Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.